Gorea in this instance. You've all familiar with his scholarship, with his words of wisdom, and he's going to speak today about Chok Tal, very important topic in Israel. So, without further ado, I give you Rabbi Rakefe.
I just want to mention to those who will be listening via the website, the YU Torah website, today is Sunday, July 22nd, and this shayur is being given in Shari Tefillah in Lawrence. And I say good morning to all those sitting in front of me, and to the many who are listening across the universe, and that's without exaggeration. I want to tell you the difference between living in Israel and living in Lawrence. We both pay taxes. You pay taxes to the United States government and you get Obama. I pay taxes to the state of Israel and we get an ongoing Shakespearean play that makes Shakespeare look dull. The issue that has broken upon us and has occupied Israeli mentality, and it looks like it's going to become the catalyst for the next election, I can tell you in advance that it will be forbidden to listen to the radio, read newspapers. There'll be so much Lashon Hara and Rechilut that even the Chafetz Chaim could not conceive of what can happen to humans. Nevertheless, it's a real issue, and I want to give its background. I want to analyze it, explain it, and predict what will be happening. How did it all begin? State of Israel was formed in a moment of trauma. 6 million Jews had been massacred, killed. The lives of another 5 million, endless million, second generation, the scars live on until today. And this little state with very little manpower defeated 6 Arab countries, defeated the American State Department, defeated the UN, and a state was declared. During the initial fighting, everyone fought, including Hasidic Rabbeim, Mitvashe Rashi Yeshiva. In 49, when the fighting quieted down and laws are being established how the state will run, all factions, Eitzel, Lehi, Palmach, everyone, everyone agreed there would be one army, Tzva Hagana Yisrael, known as the Israeli Defense Forces, IDF. Can you close the door, the last person in? Thank you. Everyone agreed there'd be one army. And the question arose, what will be with the few yeshiva boys in Israel? Torah was wiped out. Europe was gone. The state of Israel barely had a little over 500,000 Jews. Few yeshivot. No one could ever dream a day would come in the United States of America where everyone is talking about the Siyum HaShas, hundreds of thousands coming out to different venues. No one could predict it, no one could envision it. And a group of Rosh Yeshiva pleaded with Ben-Gurion, let the yeshiva boys sit and learn, they have to rebuild Torah. Now I have to tell you, Api Halacha, open up the Gemara in Saita, the Sugya Daf Mem Dalet, Mem Hei, the Rambam, Hilchot Melachim. We are fighting the greatest Milchemet Mitzvah possible. If the Arabs can have their way, they would send poison needles to every Jew in the world and kill every man, woman, and child. Anyone who knows the Quran, knows Islamic mentality, knows Hezbollah, and all that Iran, I need not list it out. This is their goal. Once they finish the Jews, they'll go on to the non-Jews. Delta Airlines, those foods with the needles, which may have had poison, they didn't discriminate. A Jew could be eating it, a non-Jew could be eating it. Al pi halacha, at a time of Melchemet Mitzvah, everyone has to go. The Mishnah even says, hafilu, the chatan v'kala, have to join in the defense forces. Rabbi Yosef Zevin, Rabbi Shlomo Yosef Zevin, whose credentials I need not describe, I yet had the schut to know him and speak and learning with him. You're talking about a gon adir who kol ha-Torah kula bal peh. You're talking about a chabatnik of the old school. Rabbi Zevin wrote an article, Cannot Exempt Yeshiva Boys. It was later translated into English, published in Tradition in the early 80s. But many of the other Rashi Yeshivas said there are only 300. We have no tomorrow. Europe is wiped out. And Ben-Gurion agreed. Now, why did BG agree? My wife asked me this very question, and I told her, I have no answer, but I'll explain to you what answers are given. It's a machlekes ha-poskim. When Ben-Gurion's 100th yahrzeit took place, there were endless TV programs, discussions on the Zaken, as he was called. And everyone maledicted him for the religious sellout in Israel. Yeshiva boys don't serve in the army. Chuppah v'kedushin is in the hands of the rabbinate. We have no mamzerim in Israel. Why did he give in? Those of you who know Ben-Gurion's saga, even when he wanted a fast on Yom Kippur, Paula would not let him. I yet met soldiers who told me a story that those days there were few cars in Israel, and BG is in his limousine driven by an army person, and an army soldier is next to him, and sitting in back is Paula. They're driving him down to stay boke, his kibbutz, for a long weekend. And there are two soldiers hailing a lift. And he stops, they get into the car, they take off their kumtot, I don't have their berets in English, and they're sitting there with kippot. And they were describing, Paula was livid with rage that two men can be sitting in her car defiling it with the yarmulke on their heads. So why did he give in? Yesh tashim l'shvach v'yesh tashim l'gnai, the Medrash HaNoach HaTzadik. Some people say, Gisa to the Yonukta. Ben-Gurion was raised in a proper home. He grew up with Shmirat Shabbat. He grew up with dedication. He knew what Yiddishkeit was about. And as far as he strayed, his youth was still there. A yeshiva bachat av sitzen and learning. 300, was ken sein, gave in. The other viewpoint, which I think is more correct, Ben-Gurion looked around. What religious Jews will remain? There's a new way of life, a new civilization, Zionism. We've saved the Jewish people. We're rebuilding the Jewish land. In 20 years, there won't be a religious Jew left in the state of Israel. No, let a few hundred sit and learn. Within 10, 15 years, each one will disappear. There'll be no tomorrow. Let them learn today. Why do I have to have a big machlokes with them? And he gave in. I need not tell you, out of these 300, 5,000, 10,000. But there really wasn't an explosion until the 1970s. And here you come to a very interesting personality, Menachem Begin.
Menachem Begin, I'm sure many of you saw him, met him, heard him. My take on Menachem Begin, let me use the term I coined when I was in the Israeli army and lectured weekly, those of you who were my students in the late 70s, from 76 on, until the computer kicked me out. I was kicked out twice. When I turned 49, the computer kicked me out, and I filed a letter of protest, and they took me back in, but when I turned 54, no letters helped. That's it. You are dead. You are gone. My final session, they gave me a medal for the Lebanon War. I was up 3 weeks, saluted me, a letter of thanks, and I never heard from Tzva Haganah Yisrael again. And I was their best correspondent. Once a week, I would get a letter faithfully telling me where I'd be lecturing the next week. So I coined the term an inverted Murano. What is a Murano? On the outside, a Goy Gamor, and in the inside, a Jew. The only way I can describe Menachem Begin in inverted Murano, on the outside, a Zah Yiddish Mensch. Oh, a Briska. His father was the gabbai of one of the shuls in Brisk. A Varimkeit. I'm not translating to English. I trust that the historians know enough basic Yiddish and Hebrew that I can get by without addressing a Reformed temple. A Zah Varim Mensch. Outside. Yiddishkeit. Baruch Hashem. Joseph Bork said every time Begin says Baruch Hashem, the Maftal loses another 10,000 votes. And he was right. But on the inside, are garnished. It's an amazing thing. How do I know that? Anyone, my students, what's the Rakefet test for your religious tenacity? The way you try to raise your children. I don't say you always succeed. I've heard stories already over this weekend where you did the best and you lost. You don't always succeed, but at least it shows what you try to do, where your heart is. And Menachem Begin's children had no Torah education whatsoever. And you see some of the grandchildren and beyond, God have mercy, what comes out of a Jew that appeared to be Azav Vadama Elechayid. But when he came to power, he brought in, by this time already, there's an Agudat Yisrael, there's a bit of a following. He opened the door, endless exemptions. Until then, there had been limitations. And now, the Haredi world, and I use that as a descriptive term, not a pejorative term, because I'm the greatest Haredi in this audience, you can take my word for it. Hared l'dva Hashem, I stand on it. My students will testify, but I'm using it as a descriptive term. The Haredim, endless yeshivat, everyone exempt, 10,000, 20,000, 30,000, 40,000, 50,000, Kenayin Hara 60,000, more than that. Tell you a true story. What happened to me? I once was speaking at a hotel, and we were talking about the problems in Israel. And I mentioned that the Torah Chinuch had so little success in the 1950s that you can do a survey, the entire upper echelon of the Tzahal leadership. 80% of the generals were graduates of Eitz Chaim in Yerushalayim. And I told them that you had entire classes in Eitz Chaim where perhaps 10% of the kids, this is where Rabbi Zalman Meltzer was Rosh Yeshiva, 10% remained from. And a man got up and said, Rav from Florida, an Israeli, wound up in Florida, Harav Rakefet, Atatole, you're making a mistake. 10%? 1%. And he said, I was in a class of 120 graduates of Eitz Chaim. I am the only one who's a Shomer Torah and Mitzvot. And he described some of his classmates, who they became, Gonein, the general in the Yom Kippur War, one after another. By the 70s,
the Haredi world is having more success. And you already have a family with 10 children, 9 remain from. Those 9 already have 90 children. And it gets even better. 88 remain from. Do the progression. And Kanaim Hara, you all know what's happening in the state of Israel. When we came in Aliyah, we stood in the streets of Yerushalayim. You watched the people walk by, perhaps 10% wore kippot, 15%. What percentage of women covered their hair outside of Mea Shearim? Stand on the streets of Yerushalayim today? Stand at the corner of Jaffa and King George? 80% kippot, hair covered. Every survey shows in Yerushalayim, 90% makpid al kashrut. Shabbat, 70% plus. North Tel Aviv, the bastion of chiloniyut, secularism, liberalism, humanism. Do you know how much outreach is being done in North Tel Aviv today? A student of mine took over a shul that barely had a minyan on Shabbos. And they said, Rabbi, do whatever you want. He has 400 people. He's been written up in all the newspapers. Of course, he uses techniques that, thank God, you don't have to use in Shari Tefillah, although some of you may like it. Have you read about, you know what he does? A red carpet. Friday night, everyone walks into shul on a red carpet. There's a sign up to welcome the Sabbath. It's only on a red... You have one every day. So that's why... That's why it's lobo late. But there, a red carpet on Friday night. But this you don't have. At least I haven't seen it. After the davening, they make kiddush. Ah, not kiddush on plain wine. The finest champagne made in the Golden Heights. Milk for a champagne like that. No wonder they get 400 people on Friday night. But the miracle is that they get almost as many on Shabbos morning. So you see, the atmosphere has changed. I can tell it best by describing my neighbor. My building, I live in a very famous building. Building was built in 68-69, Rav Chaim Berlin 18. It's a very beautiful name, named in memory of the Netziv's eldest son, Chai Tzum Leben, 18. And we've had Gedolei Yisrael in this building. It's a who's who in Gedolei Yisrael who lived there. Unfortunately, many are gone. But what a building. Among our neighbors was Moshe Mandelbaum. Moshe Mandelbaum should live and be well. You should all recognize the name, the Mandelbaum Gate. That's where he grew up. That was his parents' house. The house that was divided between what was Israel and Jordan. So Moshe Mandelbaum went on to become the head of the Bank of Israel. Before he became the head of the bank, he had very important positions. At one time I visited him in his office, PhD in economics, and I take a look, Ezitz Dona Yarmulke. So I asked him, Moshe, how come you don't wear a yarmulke? He says, what, are you crazy? I want to get ahead. You can't wear a yarmulke and get ahead in Israel today. And he would go to work with a hat, take off the hat, sit without a yarmulke, and this was Maisim B'chol Yom. You saw people like this in government service who were ashamed to put a kippah on. We've lived to see the day where almost all of Netanyahu's advisors, his closest echelon, one kippah after another. Haaretz Shokin, who says he doesn't care if he loses $100 million a year, he fights and hates Zionism and Torah with a passion. This is Haaretz, always quoted by the New York Times. And Haaretz went crazy because a picture appeared of Netanyahu before he's meeting with Obama, and he's consulting with his advisors in Washington, D.C., and in this hotel room, 8 people are sitting around him, and 7 out of the 8 are wearing kippot. Churban habayit shel haaretz. They have a special Tisha B'Av this week to cry. So you see, the world started changing. Of course, the Haredi world was ghettoized, lives with a different concept, views Sharei Tefillah. You think you're Haredim, in their eyes you are, don't want to use the word reform, but almost as bad. There have been op-ed articles in the Haredi press. All our present problems have been brought about by those so-called Haredim from America who came in Aliyah, who have PhDs, who are MDs, who have gone to university, who work for Parnassah, don't sit and learn all day. They have corrupted our society, and you can check this out. This is the Haredi in Israel, views the Jews in Borough Park and Stamford Hill, leagues below. If they're the major leagues, you're in class B, if not class C. You want a proof? A very simple proof. How many of you know the Haredi world in Israel? Once in a while, a kid acts up, and never, he doesn't accept what they're telling him. If they have money, they ship the kid off to Borough Park. If they don't have money, they ship him off to Stamford Hill in London. And understand what they're doing and how much has been written by these kids later in their memoir literature. So the Haredi world, tremendous success, but a ghettoized mentality. While this is happening, you have the Tzioni Dati world. And I'll make a simple analogy. The United States of America, Jews have been here since 1654. You look at our history and the millions upon millions of Jews that were here and what became of them. Total, complete assimilation. When I was growing up, who was the first number one ranked tennis player in the United States? Is there any gentleman my age who remembers? Vic Satius. Check the name. 8 generations from the first rabbi to set foot in America, Geshem Mendy Satius. Vic Satius, a pure wasp. Underline P, Protestant, to the second power. Need I go further? Yesterday, going to shul for Mincha, I had to ask my dear host, Jesse Sonneblick, to hold my hand. The Rebbe once told Danny Chill that Reb Chaim, when he left shul on Hanukkah night, used to walk home with his eyes closed, with a gabbai on either side holding him, because he didn't want to see Hanukkah candles. Why didn't he want to see Hanukkah candles? Because maybe he'll have to make a bracha, shasani sim laboteinu. So he wanted to go home and be able to make the bracha when he lights in his house. I had to ask Jesse to hold my hands. I shouldn't see a wedding during the 3 weeks on Yom Shabbos Kodesh in a religious so-called institution directly across the street, basically diagonally across from this Makom Torah. So this is America. Why? Because it took hundreds of years to develop Rabbanim who could speak the language of the land. Rabbanim who were integrated. Look what happened to Rabbi Jacob Joseph, to Rabbi Yaakov Yosef. I don't have time now to lecture on him. Maybe next year we'll deal with Rabbi Yaakov Yosef. It's an unbelievable topic, who this man was and what happened to him. Today, Baruch Hashem, we have Rabbanim who speak the language. You had an Asifa in English. Satma, Bal Kacham Yanu Amen. You don't know how this played in the Israeli press. Reb Zalman, you have a Siyum Shas. Mi Milelu, Mi Pilel. Who could ever dream? Same thing happened in Israel. The religious Zionists were an absolute minority. Who spoke the language? Who knew the mentality? An institution started developing that as the years went on, total integration. Yeshivat tichoniyot, ulpanot, michlalot, hezda yeshivat, yeshivat gevohot, post-army yeshivat, koilalim, totally integrated. So integrated and so much at home that Maftal no longer exists. My grandchildren don't understand any need for a religious party. One just finished the paratroopers, came back to yeshiva. He told me 4/5 of the ranking officers had kippot in their head. Who needs a religious party? Look at the TV today. Who would ever dream? You have reporters, women with shaitels, tichels, kippot, TV series, one you all heard about, Srugim. I can't watch Srugim because I suffer. I live in that world and I know all the problems, and to see it on TV is suffering twice. But boy, do I love Hechatzer, 26 chapters on a Hasidic Rebbe. What genius. What a Talmud Chacham. And if I may boast a little, the genius, Mamish, a Talmud Chacham, a world famous international lawyer, Hasidic young man, Lamdin Mufak, his first cousin, is my granddaughter-in-law. And the man who wrote Hechatzer is the Israeli ambassador to London today. He's native London, speaks to the Queen in the Queen's English, and I think I can say he's the greatest Talmud Chacham ever appointed an ambassador by the State of Israel. The only exception may be Rabbi Yaakov Herzog, who was ambassador to Canada. But Ekin Gruth Lerinin, if you see Hechatzer with the Aguna question, you'll understand what I'm saying. So you see, the country has changed. Now you'll ask a question, what brought about this tremendous explosion that just happened, that so captivated the State of Israel and captivated the entire diaspora? And I would say the catalyst is very fascinating. Sociologists, and I spoke, I think, this morning or yesterday with a PhD in sociology here, sociologists did a survey, and they reached the conclusion that in 20 years, the majority of the country will be Haredi. They see that the elementary school children, every year the percentage picks up, that in Yerushalayim already, they're an absolute majority of children getting a Haredi education. And in the entire country, the majority will be Haredi. This article was picked up by Haaretz, this research, and, pardon the expression, all hell broke loose. 20 years, Haredi. They don't work. What supports them? The secular Jew goes to work, pays taxes. We're going to have to support half the country. What kind of economy will we have? And you have to understand, the Knesset passed a law, what's called, their new words in Hebrew that have been invented because of these issues. I'll introduce a new word to you. Tochnit Haliba. You know what that means in English? Core curriculum. Tachnit haliba, halev. Core curriculum. Math. Computers. English. Haredim refused to allow it into their schools. This is not Satmar High School in Williamsburg. Chok v'lo yavo. Or, to use language of extremism, Yohareg v'yal yavo. Refuse to allow it in. No, what kind of kids do you have? What will become with them? What will be with them? 50% to support? We're going to go bankrupt. The second catalyst were two very disgraceful incidents that shook up the entire Israeli society, including the Haredi society, or what the op-ed page blamed on the American Haredim. In Yerushalayim, you all know, the New York Times picked it up, of course. screaming headlines, a chayalet, a female soldier. Now you have to understand, even if she's wearing pants, I would not say that a female soldier is dressed non-sneistically. I don't want to use other words, but you understand. She's covered. She got onto a bus, and evidently this was one of the Haredi buses where they separate men and women, which is against the law of the state of Israel. But nevertheless, she sat down in the men's section, and some Yerushalmi Talmud Kollel, who's been learning since he was 18 years old, day and night in the Kollel, he's, I think, in his 50s today or late 40s, started screaming at her and calling her haprutza. Don't want to translate the word. There's an Aram Kodesh behind me. It caused a tremendous storm. He was arrested. He's going to stand trial for offending a woman. Then a terrible incident happened in Beit Shemesh. Again, you all know the background. Yerushalmi and Reb Aralez of Muta Beit Shemesh. And this girl of American origins, the Margolese family, was walking to her Mamlachti Dati Torani school. Torani meaning it's for women only. And some of these Reb Aralez started throwing rocks at her, an 8-9-year-old girl. And Americans don't take it lying down. They started to scream, and it made headlines. They were on the news. They were broadcast. They were televised. Someone promised to get me a... Oh, it's here. Thank you. Thank you. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam she'hakol nehiyem dvaro. Thank you very much. And this made headlines. And it shook up the country. And something has to be done. And something has to happen. And this can't go on. And a petition was brought to the Supreme Court that Chok Tal, which essentially continues the tradition of allowing yeshiva boys not to serve in the army, is inequitable. It is not fair. I need not tell you that if you have to pay taxes and the gentleman next to you doesn't, you would scream and shout. My children go into the army, and his children do not. The Supreme Court voted by a split decision that Chok Tal is not democratic. What's interesting about the vote, that all the religious members of the Supreme Court, and there are at least four today, three who wear kippot, and one, Judge Meltzer, who happens to be a great-nephew to Rabbi Zalman Meltzer, doesn't wear a kippah, but he married the right lady. So you should know that all his children and his graduates totally Shomer Torah mitzvot, and he would call himself traditional, but Ashoim Shabbos is a Bal Kachaya Ne'amein, because he has to get along with his distinguished wife. But what's interesting is all four religious judges voted against Chok Tal. So the country has been thrown into pandemonium. The parties that are not religious, Kadima, has looked upon it as an ace, a klaf, as we say in Yiddish, a klaf, a card, a calling card, a waving card, a placard. This is what we have to go to elections on. We will do fabulously. And you're all aware that Netanyahu sought to seek a compromise with them, and they refused, and this is exactly where we stand at this moment in time. What will happen? Let me predict what will happen. You'll say, Rakefet, you don't know the Gemara in Baba Batra, you say already you're Messiah Shastai, Sazam Aretz Bistu, that only a Shoter or a Katan prophesies. Okay, I'm a shaita and I'm a cotton. But I guarantee you, it took 64 years for this to develop. In 64 years, you will say, Rebbe, you were right. Because there's certain forces at work. And I'll end off with the most important force, but give it a little time yet. This is what will happen. The politicians will yell and scream. As I stated at the outset of the lecture, you're going to hear extremism on all sides. You heard Real Yavar, parasites, Chilal Hashem, Kiddush Hashem. Build jails big enough to hold 70 million. We don't care if they jail us. We're all going to Lawrence and ask the Lawrence community to support us. No one has said that yet. It's interesting. Remember, Rav Shach in the 80s said, "Anachnu kulanu navol atzolta brit." But no one has said that yet under the present economic conditions. And I'll tell you what will happen. It's amazing. The Haredi world, you already have endless youngsters. They're breaking out. They don't want to be poor. Don't want to be schnurrers. Don't want to go collecting every morning in every shul. In Borough Park, you can't daven. It's impossible to daven. I can tell you, I daven in a shtibl. We are interrupted every half minute with another guy from Israel with some pit kit in front of him, a petik. They don't want to be schnorrers. They want to live in dignity. But it's not just that. They're not frightened of the big world. Because in the big world beyond them today, let me let you in on a secret. I hold an article in front of me that I can the gentleman who put this on me please replace it? I don't lose it altogether. Wait, let me get my other props here. Thank you. I apologize to all those listening that was replacing the microphone on my shirt break. These are breaks, interludes of modern technology. 1973, we were wiped out. Anyone who lived in Israel at the time, we don't understand until today how we survived. On the Egyptian front, there was just a few Miluim units, Kissinger refused to allow Golda Meir to call up the reserves, let the Arabs kill a few thousand Jewish boys, they'll have a victory, and they'll be more willing to make peace. And this is Kissinger, who was a member of an Agudat Yisrael youth group and wrote an essay on Yishuv, Mitzvat Yishuv Eretz Yisrael and won a prize. Menachem Parrish took that essay out of the vaults of Agudat Yisrael and gave it back to him, and 3,000 plus lives of Jewish boys rests on his hands. The Syrian Heights, there was no one there. No one understands how the tanks did not reach Damascus and the Egyptians did not reach Beersheba on Yom Kippur. What the worst part of the Yom Kippur War, 1/5 of the Israeli Air Force was knocked out of the skies by Russian anti-plane missiles. 1/5. Many of the pilots were killed, some were captured, tortured. Israeli Air Force made a Cheshbon HaNefesh. We can't go further. A rumor spread throughout the country that a Gera Chassid, who didn't graduate elementary school, saved the state of Israel, changed the course of modern warfare. 1982, the Lebanese War, the first Lebanese War, Israel knocked 86 Syrian planes, MiGs, out of the sky. Did not lose one plane. The only plane that was lost was a malfunction on a Shabbos. David Hartman's son-in-law, Aaron Katz, a tremendous Hesder graduate, was the pilot of that plane, or the navigator. He died. There were two people. It was a Skyhawk. He died on that Shabbos. Unbelievable. Rumors spread throughout the country. I lived in Israel long enough to know all rumors are correct because it's a small country. I can tell you now it's happening in intelligence because one of my grandchildren has, I'll say, a girlfriend who's an officer in intelligence. And there's a whole division of religious girls in intelligence, and we know already what they've been told vis-a-vis Syria. There are no secrets. No secrets whatsoever. Couldn't believe, who is this man? 20 years later, Maariv ran a tremendous article about what happened, never revealed his name. And this June, Yediot reveals the name and the entire story. And I can tell you that a Hasidic Jew, and every rumor we heard was correct, those of you that are Ger Hasidim know a little bit about Ger and their relationship between men and women. It's very different than a normative halachic approach. The generals would sit in the room, call for him. All the women had to go out. Generally speaking, the stenographers among the aides-de-camps, all the stenographers were males. When he walked in, he walked through the hall. No woman was allowed. They revealed his name, Menachem Krauss of Bnei Brak, saved the Jewish people. He is the genius that discovered the way to deflate the missiles and how to destroy the missiles on the ground. They reveal in the article Aviam Selach, who was involved with Jonathan Pollard, who then was a brigadier general in the Air Force. He relates the entire story, how he came to Weizmann Institute and said, we need your best minds to save the state of Israel. What do we do? And they said, give us a minute. And Kol HaKavod to Weizmann Institute, never asked for a penny, gave them their top people, and now our top person is walking in, and in walks a guy. If you know the way Ger HaSidim wear knickers, with avekesha, with a long gera beard and payas, and he thinks it's a meshulah. Who's walking into here? And they say, this is the man. The story continues. You know what Menachem Krauss does today? He's the CEO of a multi-hundred-million-dollar high-tech firm, and he only employs in the technology over 1,000 Haredi women whose husbands are sitting and learning, and they're making a better salary than I am. And you have to read the article. Kol HaKavod to Menachem Krauss. I walk into Machon Lev. Some of you know I daven there Sunday afternoon before I give my shir in Grush. I walk into Machon Lev. It's beyond words what you see there. Kippot Sprugot, black kippot. Chassidische Yidden, Litvische Junge Leit, Breslava, Chabadnikim, Gera, Belza, every language under the sun, English, French, Amharic, Russian. I don't hear too much Yiddish. It's interesting because today, even Ger, Belz always spoke. Ger always spoke Hebrew. But even Belz, I read already, when you go to the museum, the what I spoke about, the display yesterday, when they interview the Belza, you'll hear them say it's getting harder and harder for us to continue speaking Yiddish to our children because they are totally comfortable with English as a result of the street scenes in Meir Sharim and Geula, etc. And it's overwhelming. They're breaking out. But not only that. Today, there is an appreciation in the Haredi world of the world in which I live, the Tzioni Dati world. Many op-ed pieces, our devotion to Eretz Yisrael, the boys and girls on the hilltops of Judea and Samaria. Some of these boys and girls, direct descendants of Balabatim from this very shul, Barry Liebman, at his grandson's wedding, he was describing to me the over 100 young kids, Mitlanga Payas down to here. These are the kids that Haaretz hates with a passion, with enmity. Na'a agvahot, and also a new word in modern Hebrew. And Not only that, I heard in my own ears a Haredi leader say in public that the women in Yehuda Vishomron are more tzniyistic than our women in Geula. They don't wear shekels. You have a wife in Geula, you got to go in and buy a shekel. Let me tell you, it's a pretty penny. I know what shekels cost, and you know, it has to be fashionable. This is not the shekel that your grandmother wore. And the women in Yehuda Vishomron, no makeup, no cosmetics, what dedication. They have respect. But there's another side to the coin. Tzioni Dati youth. There's a lot of understanding today of the Haredi world. The Varimkeit, the warmth, the emotion, the learning, the hatmada. All right. Already. Hasidus conquered the world. I'm going to write another book, The Last of the Litvakim. A soul survivor. But I have to be honest, I love Torah more than anything. I advise my children, my grandchildren, my students, a bissel chassidus. How did Mr. Mendelovich put it? A pintle chassidut. We have that display at the Jewish, at the Israeli museum. It's not only attracting chassidim and rebbeim. They closed the museum, and on Rebbe Kump, they closed the museum down, and the Rebbe gets a private tour. The Navona Rebbe was there, made headlines. Rebbe Minadvon Mevaker B'Muzayin Yisrael. Private tour. But our children need it. And I'll refer back to something I said on Shabbat. We have lived to see the Vilna Gaon and the Baal Tanya merge. Siddat Mashiach, last day of Pesach, Friday afternoon. That same Friday afternoon, generally I daven at the Kotel, but I Manka drives me one way and I walk back. It's a 45-minute walk. To walk and walk back, I don't have that much energy. So I looked around, where will there be an early minyan, Kabbalah Shabbos, Shvi Shel Pesach, the Shtiblach, Katamon. Now I come to the minyan, I thought no one knows me. 100 people lined up to ask me what time they can eat the rice, the beblach, whatever, the lima beans, the nahirta. I mean, it was unbelievable what was going on. They're like Svadim, anachnu edot hamizrach hayom. And we davened early. It must have been a mob scene in that room. Wow. Davened early because there are other minyanim going on, mincha, and they're going to be marif minyanim, bizman. And I walk out, and on the lawn of the Shtiblach, if you know the building, the lawn around it, Chabad is having a Suda Tadda Mashiach. That's only Chabad can. A table set up in front, Gedolei Chabad, Sheiner, Rabbanim, Mitlanger, Bear, these are Chabad that can never touch their beards. It's an unbelievable world. It's a crime that the Messianists have desecrated their Rebbe's memory. But Chabad, essentially, what a world. And they're holding a Fabrengen, and I take a look. Hundreds of young people are standing with awe and listening. And I look at their kippot, 90% kippots through gut. Shabbos, Yontev, big white kippot. There's a bit of a coming together, a mutual understanding. More important, a mutual respect. And let me end off. I'm going to reward you in a minute, but it's going to cost. To hear the last joke, it has to be on the, you know, my IOU list. I don't give it. Ask you the Megan Muggin Shavya. Doctor heals for nothing, worth nothing. So I have an IOU list that a student keeps for me. I say something, I say, gentlemen, this is going to cost you 36,000 shekel. Who will buy it? Immediately a hand goes, write down his name. I never took a penny from a student, but they have to feel. I'll get there in a moment. I'll auction off in a moment. Gentlemen, what have I described so far? Let me summarize. The problems are real. Ben-Gurion allowed the yeshiva world to have an exemption. No one ever dreamt that there'd be 70,000 Jungalites studying Torah today, including many from Eidot HaMizrach. Rav Ovadia is one of the most extreme in his pronouncements, and I give him credit because his constituents, if I'm pronouncing it right, his the people he appeals for votes are not in that league. And he has come out, Yahreg V'Aliyava, he's been more extreme than some of the Litvish Rashi Yeshiva. Kol HaKavod, with Rav Ovadia, it's real. I don't agree, but it's real. We've seen an explosion. The country is frightened. 20 years, Haredim a majority, not working, not knowing computers, English, math, not serving in the army. Who will protect us? The incidents with the women coined a new term. The Israeli Academy of Language approved it, Hadrat Nashim. It means pushing women away, turning them into second-class citizens. That's officially a crime in the state of Israel. Hadrat Nashim. Tachnit Haliba. Never knew these words when I grew up in Yeshiva College and took Hebrew. So these are real problems. And the Chok Tal was declared invalid, undemocratic, inequitable. But even within the Haredi world, the opening is beginning. The push out is beginning. The fear of living beyond the ghetto is diminishing. The Tzioni Dati world has set a good example. And they have a lot to offer the Haredim, to remain with Torah and Yiret Shemayim and be part of the bigger world. But they too have a lot to gain from the Haredim. And believe me, the warmth, the dedication. Rabbi Lichtenstein has said this many times, and I just reiterate it. It's a lot to gain from a Hasidic Yid, the Varemkeit, from a Litvische Talmud Chacham who learns day and night, Ibige Gebenkeit, Vagisa Bayom Bavaila. Things will change, but it will be gradual. And I totally agree with Netanyahu's position. You can't take 70,000 yeshiva boys and throw them into jail. It's ludicrous. And if for 64 years you allow this to continue, give it another 64 years, gradually. Work it out, slowly. 10,000 in the army. In 20 years, there'll be 30,000. In 50 years already, you'll have 100,000. Before you know it, the chief of staff will be a Hasidic Yid. What did Ben Gurion say? I dream of the day when the chief of staff will be a Taimani. Well, look at the last five chief of staffs and make a cheshbon, you'll find that the majority were of a Dot HaMizrach. 60 years or sooner, the chief of staff will be a Gera Chassid mit a Langebad, a grandson of Menachem Krauss, Ramatkal, Major General. Watch and see, it will happen. How do I know it won't happen overnight? Very simple. One Wednesday night in Yeshiva University, had to be about 1960, we bothered the Rav, and we were totally wrong. Students want to take advantage of the Rebbe, have no consideration for the Rebbe's health, the Rebbe's age. He had just been through major surgery. And we bothered the Rav. Rebbe, we want to sit with you and ask you our hashkafic questions. And finally, we bothered him so much, he gave in. There were two such sessions until his wife got hold of us and said, you are a bunch of rotten, vicious, malicious, hideous, heinous, ruthless, depraved, degenerate, debaucher, fictitious sinners. You have no mercy on my husband. Quote Rakefet, adding to Revitzin Tanya. And one of the questions that came up that night, I'll tell you the name who asked it, I live it time and again, Rabbi Abba Brandspiegel, I trust you've heard the name, a survivor, a Gera Chassid, his grandfather was the Rav Avram, was the Re'em, Rav Avram Mordechai Altiz Melamed Dartiki. His grandfather taught the Rebbe Chumash, Mishnah, Gemara. When his grandfather walked into the room, the world-famous third Gera Rebbe, the Re'em, stood up for him. And Abba asks, and he was a Torah Vedas boy who came to YU, and he says, well, what should our attitude be towards reform, conservative Jews? And the Rav looks at him, what do you think will help? We should smack their faces, put them down. If I'm not mistaken, the Rav even alluded to the Gemara in Bat Metzia in Avodah Zarah, read them that if they go into a sewer, you close the manhole on top of them. If they go up to a tree, you remove the ladder. Would that help? And then the Rav says, open up a Rambam, open up the Rambam. And we open up to Hilchot Mamrim, Perik Gimel, Halochet Aleph Bet Gimel, I'm paraphrasing it. And the Rambam says, you meet an apikoiris, if no one is looking, basically kill him, get rid of him, do the world a favor. That's an apikoiris who began the whole movement, who was raised properly, but their children, b'neim u'b'nei b'neihem, they have a halacha, what is it? Tinokot shenishbu'u. So then the Rambam asks a fabulous question. So how come when they see a good Jew, I always tell my grandchildren that I am a failure. I saw Jews in Yerushalayim, Mechalalei Shabbos, they saw me, they know me, and they know me and they didn't change. I'm a failure. Every Jew who sees Avraham a Yid, an Elik a Yid, a good Jew, a Jew with Mesiras Nefesh, any Jew who reads Washington to Washington, should become a Shaima Shabbos, absolutely. No, and they see me and nothing happened. So I always quote the Rambam. The Rambam asked this very question, and he says, people don't change overnight. It's very hard to change. They were raised a certain way. And therefore, we have an obligation, l'mashcham b'divrei shalom, we have to influence them peacefully, quietly, slowly, ad sheyachzeru le'tana Torah, until they'll come back to Torah. And the same is true of this delicate problem we're talking about, this quagmire, this challenge. It'll happen gradually, but it has to happen. And why does it have to happen? And let me tell you very simply, ma shelo yaseh haseichel yaseh hazman, ma shelo yaseh hazman yaseh haseichel. There are forces of life at work. People want to live in dignity. It's a human desire. And people are God conscious. They seek God. There's a soul within us. How does the prophet put it? The Rishayim are not at peace. Lev Rishayim Yirgash. They're not at peace. They're seeking. Something is lacking. There are forces here that will throw it all together. But more important than all, we all forget, there's a Ribbono Shel Olam running the world. And with all that we do, and look back, post-World War II, and all that we did, and all the machloket, and just think for a moment, Agudat Yisrael was against Jewish sovereignty in the Jewish state, till Messiah comes, and they had such extreme positions. And take a look today the way the Ribbono Shel Olam had to feed the Welt. And how do I know all this? And here I end off, but this story has to cost. Rabbi Dr. Blau, Rabbi Flaum, you'll share 36,000 to the IOU list. Rabbi, write it down, my two students sitting here in front of me. How do I know it all? So I'll let you in a secret. When I did basic training in the Israeli army, was very disjointing for me, all the cursing that goes on. You understand, they're giving commands, the officers, you're running day and night, and min leif, min shist, min vaft, yeah, they got to keep you busy, and their signs up all over, kashebi imunim kal bikrav, difficult in training, easy in battle. No, rakepin in battle, as I said, by Jordanian war buttons. Anyway, by the way, I did basic training 76. I said 78. I was 38, but it was 76, 1976. So here we are, and I see, and I can curse in four different languages, Yiddish and English and Russian and Arabic and Hebrew. There are no curses, because the curses are halachic concepts. I hear kids on the streets, Ben Zonah, he's calling this other kid. I say, wow, this kid already 7 years old, those are Sujin Yavamat. Kala kavod. Sujin Ktuvat. Kala kavod. So, I developed a unique way to curse, to learn Torah and to curse at exactly the same time, to get the Scha of Lima Torah and to maledict your commander. And it's very simple. Open up the Rambam, Hilchot Melachim, Perek Yud Bet, Halacha Bet. And the Rambam is talking about the future redemption. And he says there's tremendous machloket. Some say it'll happen this way, some say it'll happen that way. And the Rambam says, no, don't get involved in figuring it out. We don't understand it. V'kein lo yachshov hakitzim. Don't try to delineate it. There's too much confusion. It'll happen the way it will happen. Amru chachamim tipach rucham shel mechashvei kitzim. May those who try to figure it out drop dead. And there's Rakefet reviewing the Rambam. Tipach rucham shel mechashvei kitzim. Rakefet, ma tama malel, the mefakeh says, what are you mumbling? Lo me torach ha mefakeh. Yafeh, tamshich. And finally, I'm showing this, I may have shown it last year, but this is the whole secret of what we're looking for. Today in the army, you have to request tzitzit. I look forward to the day when every soldier coming into the Israeli army will be given the tzitzit. B'karov v'yameinu adbiyat Mashiach tzitkenu b'karov mamish. Thank you very, very much. I'm wearing a black Rav Scheinberg now. Yeah. I'm wearing two pairs. I'm getting started.
It doesn't stop.
He's going to have to drive us home because we didn't... I'm
trying to get it to stop. It just keeps going. New?
Say press this thing. Press this.
No, that doesn't. It's not the touch thing. This is from the old... It just keeps going. Yes.